Welcome to Between Two Ledgers. I'm James Rose, and today's guest is James Sundin. He's the co-founder and chief evangelist at Represent. He spent 16 years getting good at something most accountants dread, which is sales. It took me a while to work out what he actually does, and it turns out that's completely on purpose, as you'll hear in this episode. He's a genuine sales machine who isn't afraid to pick up the phone. He packs out talks at conferences like Accountex, and he's the reigning pitch slap champion, which you'll hear a little bit more about. The things we cover are why he built a brand designed to confuse people on purpose, how to win clients before you've even spoken to them, why accountants are brilliant at the work but terrible at talking about it, when to fire your worst clients, whether you should even chase growth at all, and the time he cooked a barbecue for 40 people to land a great client, and a whole bunch more topics. And with that, I bring you James Sundin. Mr. James Sundin, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure, Mr. Rose.
Man, I feel like this should have been done earlier. We've been chatting a lot, and I hadn't had you on the podcast yet. I'm not sure why. You were introduced to me through a very terrible person called Tom Johnson. Is our business development for Content Snap.
Yes.
How do you know him?
Well, I was saying, I think it's good that we're both now in each other's lives so we can emotionally support each other through the trials and tribulations that is knowing Tom Johnson. Tom, for anyone that doesn't know him, has a really strange accent like I do. So Tom's British, originally from the UK. And when Tom was kind of over in the UK before he kind of ran away, buried his sins, and James took him ever so nicely under his wing and brought him into Content Snare. And Tom owned his own business in the UK. We used to have a lot of mutual clients, and we've always geeked out together where it comes to sales, marketing, strategy, automations, all of the cool stuff behind that as well. So yeah, we've always gotten like an absolute house on fire, mutual clients. But yeah, once again, James, thank you for saving the UK and taking him over to us, mate.
Brilliant. No worries. He's actually turned out, he's been a great person to have on the team. I'm sorry to not keep going with the negativity around Tom, but yeah, it's been really awesome having him on. But more about you, man. This is all I want to talk about you and the way you help accountants and what you can help accountants with. I'll be honest, it took me quite a while to work out what you actually do.
Thank you.
Because there are so many things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I want to hear in your words what you do. But most importantly, I heard that you were the pitch slap champion of 2024. It's like when you're the local chicken shop is like, this city's best chickens 2016. Like, I think you should take that sign down now, mate. So tell me about the pitch slap and what do you do?
I love it. So in reverse order in that case. So pitch slap champion 2024. Context what pitch slap is. So imagine a guy coming around with a microphone, a videographer with him, shoving a microphone, a camera in your face whilst you're at an industry event, and saying you've got 10 seconds to pitch your business to camera. Coming out of nowhere, slapping you with a big foam hand, pitch slap, camera in your face, boom, let's go. So can't quite remember off the top of my head how many vendors were brave enough to put their name in the hats. However, 2024, not 2014. I know I've aged horrifically from working with accountants for 12 years, but yeah, it's not quite that long ago. But yeah, that was the first year it was done. It was also the year where it was the people's vote. So it wasn't decided on by a group of judges. And obviously, as we know, judges can be bribed and persuaded. And, there's the whole political game to play there. But yeah, the people's vote, the people's champion, that's kind of who I am. And that's kind of what happened. In relation to the first part, James, so I love the fact, because we do so many things, it confused you and it took you a while to figure that out. That was an intentional part of our strategy when we went to market. And the reason why, so if you see this company doing like all this amazing cool stuff, providing these epic results for clients, but you don't know what they do, what do you do? You either go and ask them, which then generates you as a lead, or you go and ask somebody else, which then spreads your brand awareness.
Interesting.
Completely the most backwards thing in the world. Maybe do I keep it loose and don't really give it away? Now,
do you think it actually works? I can't tell if you're taking this loose or not.
No, seriously, it really did the most backwards marketing strategy that's ever existed, but making it super clear and concise. So we do five different things for five different countries around the world, but always centered predominantly around accountants in practice. So we help them win their ideal clients, and we help them deliver compliance, advisory, and finance functions. We help them grow via acquisition and nail the transition. We help them automate manual processes, getting into that and unpacking that in a little bit of time if you'd like to do so. But lastly, we help them exit. So either by selling their firm or by replacing themselves in part or in full, whereby they can work 2-3 days a week, make a significantly higher net profit, and get to enjoy this beautiful thing outside of work called life. But that's what we make possible. So win, deliver, acquire, automate, exit.
Love it.
Awesome. I would like to start at the very beginning. We're not going to have the time to get through all of them, unfortunately. But cool. I believe that where we should take this chat is the sales, the winning part.
Yeah, sure.
I am told you're a sales machine and not afraid to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And I believe you recently spoke at Accountex.
Yes, correct.
And two things caught my eye. Apparently, I also heard that they were basically standing room only talks that you gave. So it's very, very popular, not surprising. Two things caught my eye were win clients before you've spoken and say less, win more. So let's dig into that. The other note I said here is you're not afraid to pick up the phone. Let's assume that accountants are afraid to pick up the phone in the context of what you say from here.
Cool. So what we talking about first, picking up the phone?
Selling. Accountants selling, and especially win clients before you've spoken. That was a really big standout to me, I think. Especially because it's nice to have half the work done before you speak to someone, right?
Correct. Absolutely. I think first things first, look at the problems within industry. So we deliver service to firms across 5 different countries: Australia, South Africa, USA, Canada, UK. Are the countries that we've got clients in, and we're actively servicing those clients in various different ways across the portfolio of services we provide. Thinking about win, so the problem typically with firms, and this is, you know, this is pretty standardized across the globe. Firms are phenomenal at what they do for businesses, whether that be tax, whether that be record keeping, whether that be advisory, whether that be reduction of cost, whether it be helping a business make better decisions, pay less tax, pay themselves more, whatever it might be. But they're absolutely terrible at talking about it. There's a problem, there's a blocker there. Very, you know, very professional, absolutely awesome human beings, what accountants are, but they're very reserved. And it's the reason why, from a global perspective, the vast majority of growth for firms happens from referrers, because they're not involved in those sales conversations until somebody comes to them and says, hey, you seem pretty dope. You work with X, can you help me as well? So there's a confidence there. Here's how I've always grown before. Here's how I'm going to continue to grow. The 7 most expensive words in business, this is how we've always done it. Hey, cool. Like, in a world of geo, SEO, in a world of automation, Amazon delivery, self-service tills, and AI taking over the world, before Skynet happens, like, what are you going to go and do to win more of your ideal clients? I think it's changed from a pick up the phone, just have a sales conversation, to actually let's enrich that client as to who we are, the value that we can provide, the energy that we have, you know, not just buzzwords like culture, but the energy that we actually have as normal human beings. That's what attracts people to want to work with us. It's only after they get a good energy about who we are, can we then be like, hey, here's our credibility. And most importantly, here's the social proof. Here's the problems that you've got that another business just like yours had that we've been able to fix. Is their story, their journey, how we've supported them, and here's what the output is. Like, loads of firms go, hey, like, I want to go win new clients. Let's go pump loads of money into SEO and ads and ad spend. Oh, yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, can't win clients. Have to wait for referrals, don't I? these are real things that happen. So, but I think every firm needs to start with that foundation. So how do you get a pre-qualified buyer coming to you without getting too crazy and sexy into automation stuff? I know me and you, and especially Tom Johnson has mentioned, can absolutely geek out on this kind of stuff, right? Let's start with the basic fundamentals. Think about your social media profiles. Think about your website. What happens when somebody lands on that? Because that's where you want to drive people to, right? Look at it through your customer's eyes. Does it speak to them? Does it talk to them? Does it show them that you are the best person doing what you do to manage and support their business? Great. Start with the foundation first and make sure wherever you're bringing people to, like I said, your social media, your profile, your website, wherever that might be, let's make sure that's crisp, make sure it's clean, make sure it's feature rich with what you do and the difference you make for other businesses. Let's look at the foundation, then let's build momentum, and then we can really step. And that's how we deliver what we do as part of our services. But, you know, this is really great free advice, and, you know, not every firm is right for us, not every firm can afford us, and it's the reason why I like to give free documents, advice, structures, support. Like, generally, James, like, I'm a huge, huge advocate for what firms can do if they start talking about their value, and it's the reason why I give quite a lot of my IP away for free.
The website side of things is an interesting topic, because I feel like a lot of firms, especially ones that rely on referrals, never bother. Even like they throw something up, it's just like a placeholder, you know. Yep. So when someone actually Googles them, you know, they hear about them, they Google them, they're like, oh yeah, cool. They're like it's a tick box. Mm. And yeah, I feel like you've alluded to, it can be so much more. I don't think it needs to be as big a deal as some people think it is. You know, it's really that hard to build like a website that talks about you and the reasons people work with you and the results you've got for other people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like first impressions matter a lot more than mm-hmm. I think people like care to, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's something that should not be neglected, especially by, even by accountants who are probably going to get these clients anyway. So I'm guessing then like that is the first thing you generally work with people on, is getting their message out and sort of distilling that into a way that it can be written on a website.
Absolutely. I think the first thing to look at is, who do you actually want to win business from? You've got a split camp here, right? You've got firms that can't win clients, but more often than not, the problem with firms is they have no problem winning clients, but they're winning the wrong clients. So they become inundated, overworked, stressed, pressurized, not enough hours in the day, and not winning the right ones. Actually, if you're in that quite a luxurious position, what you should be doing is getting rid of what we call your shit list. The clients that aren't right for you, that don't pay you on time, that don't respect you, that come with all of the information last minute, regardless of the great automations you've got in contents now. Mm. But you need to think about churning those clients if you don't have the right ones. If you need to think about winning clients, what is the point in going through all of the pain and struggle, the client onboarding process, working with these difficult clients that are not in line with your ideal client profiles? What's the point in going winning those just to be able to do so? Like, let's set you up for success either by changing the clients that you work with, improving that process, improving your net profit, your take home, what you pay yourself, the people that you can afford to hire and bring into your firm, the tech projects that cost money that you really want to do, but you don't have the cash really available for it, all because clients don't pay you on time, right? So let's work out that ideal client profile first, and then let's build and create the environment that's conducive to attracting that client to you once they have eyes on what you've got to share with them from the web page, from the social media account, whatever that may be.
I totally on board with this, and I love seeing in Facebook groups or accounting communities when someone says they're firing a client. It's just like, it's such a like, oh yes, like such a feel good moment. I feel like a lot of people probably think they can't do that given, you know, how many clients they've got or whatever. I think but the solution to that is always, if you can replace them, if you're comfortable that you can replace them with someone better, then that's going to make that decision a lot easier, right, to let go of those people. So coming back to, say someone does now, that entry point of the website is sorted out, how do we get away from relying on referrals? How do they get more people to their website, to be aware of them?
Yeah, absolutely. You then think, so you've got the right foundations, you start building that momentum. So the easiest thing to do is work out, so you know your ideal clients, you know what they look like, the size, the turnover of the business, their personalities, the type of industries that they're in, all of these different variables. So we absolutely go to town on planning that, creating the right environment for them when they land there. And it's really, really simple. A lot of people overcomplicate this, James. Where do your clients hang out? Where are those businesses, yeah? Where are those businesses? If you are a big fan of in-person networking, cool. Have a really super slick, really good looking on-brand business card with a QR code for your LinkedIn profile, for your Instagram profile, for your TikTok profile, depends on what kind of type of firm you are and what you're into, right? Where do you want to direct people's attention to that's going to support that journey and that experience? Even if you had a different business card, let's say you deal with and you specialize with four different sets of verticals. Have four different pockets with four different business cards with four different QR codes on. And the landing page that it takes for that business card goes to an e-commerce business. If you're talking with an e-commerce business owner, that one goes to, you know, a professional services page. If one of your things is professional services businesses, you get the point, right? So where are you going to take those people to? Where are they going to land? If that's in-person networking, go out there, get it. The more that you put in, make sure you're not pitch-slapping people. I feel pretty well qualified to be able to say that, right? Just talk to people like a normal human being. Same situation if you're on social media and you're prospecting people on social media.
Yeah.
Just be a normal human being. Like everyone, the icky AI chatbot comments.
Oh,
my goodness me, it makes my skin crawl every time I see them. I'd love to call them out and say thanks, Bob, when people comment on posts, right?
But
if you're going to do it in a digital way, great. Just be a normal human being. People will be attracted to good human energy. You can then look at all the different ways. So if you then want to put ad spend into play, make sure your ad is crisp and clean. Don't just do an ad by itself. Don't just go, great, I'm just going to put some LinkedIn or Facebook ads together and I'm going to do that as a single silo. Be specific in who you're marketing to when you're bringing their problems to the forefront of their mind. And you're telling them what their problems are before they've even spoken to you. And you're doing so in a way, and you're articulating that in a better way than they can share it with you. That gives you credibility, and then that gives you the ability to be able to say, here's how we fix that problem. String together a direct mail campaign. Send somebody a handwritten letter with a business card attached. Hey, put it in a box where when they open it, it explodes confetti. Like, do whatever's cool with your brand, right? But do that with a handwritten letter. Then have a LinkedIn ad, then a Facebook ad, and then as a step in process, if you're comfortable to do so, pick up the phone. be a human being in the digital world, because that's what people care about, human interaction. They care about how you've made them feel. And if you're taking the time to do the handwritten letter and pick up the phone like a human being as part of your cadence or process, these things really help. Be specific, be targeted, and be absolutely ruthless in a really cool, good energy kind of way.
And see, what I like is that none of this is magic, right? This is all things I guess we know we should be doing. And we overcomplicate, we think we've got to do everything. But it's like, if you just look at it and go, you know, this one gels with me the most, I want to give that a go, start somewhere.
Yep.
What I love the direct mail chat. Like, I would love to be able to make direct mail work for our business. Chunky mail, not direct mail, chunky mail. So it's like actually like an expensive thing. It's costly to get to the person.
Yep.
For us, content isn't so cheap. We just cannot make the economics of that work, but I'd love to be able to send some stuff like that. I remember a classic example. I can't remember the marketer, but it was, they sent like a little wheelie bin with some like money in it. And it's like, stop throwing your money away or something.
I love that.
So funny. There's just so many cool examples of that. But yeah, like going back even further, you talked about like, you know, where those people you've defined who you want to work with, where, you know, where do they hang out? And I feel like it's so rare for me to meet accountants that have that dialed in, you know, and when they do, they seem to be fairly successful. Like I know someone who they work with a certain industry and they just go to all of that industry's events to the point where they are now speaking on stage at, let's say it was a lawyer event, you know, they're talking on a legal stage about accounting things that affect lawyers, and they do very well out of that. Like they've become the sort of default person that people recommend within this industry because they're just so ingrained. And it's not like this guy is not a sales machine. He's just a guy that wants to help and probably started helping in a lower commitment way on just by sharing things on LinkedIn and or in communities and getting noticed. And you know, this sort of spins, it's like a flywheel, right? Like you learn more about an industry by serving more of that client. And you talked about ads and speaking directly to their problems. You know their problems because you're doing it all the time, right? So like all this work, it flywheels off each other is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And so other examples, you know, I don't really want to share their niches or anything, but it's just the same. I've heard that same play in three different ways now. I've spoken to a woman who goes to a certain type of event because that's what she specializes in, has the stand, you know, like I think a lot of accountants are probably seeing the vendors at like a ZeroCon or something as like a thing that someone else does. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, there's nothing stopping an accountant going and having their stand at FarmCon or I don't know, whatever.
FarmCon sounds dope. That's it. That should be a great day out. Next time I'm crossing those, me, you and Tom Johnson. We'll take little one out.
My brother-in-law goes to I can't remember what it's called. Farm Fantastic.
Oh, good. Oh, nice.
Yeah, even better than FarmCon. And it sounds great. And honestly, I feel like I wish I was selling there because the fees for their stand are about a third of what you spend in an accounting conference.
Oh.
For a huge thing. I'm like, you spend how much on that stand? Oh, my Lord. That's so cheap.
Yeah, do you know what it is? I think the environment's really important. So if you've got like four or five pay bills as you stand, I'm glad it's a little bit cheaper. But yeah, I think it would fit with the aesthetics.
100%. But yeah, so I don't know. I think hopefully people listening to that think, you know, or maybe that is worth me doing. What would you say to someone who's like, oh, you know, I don't need more clients. We just get enough coming in from referrals.
Great.
I feel like a lot of accountants would say that though.
Of course they would. So here's the thing, right? So your business that you set up, you built it for a purpose. Is it fulfilling that purpose? In the immortalized words of the notorious BRG, more money, more problems. It's always nice when I get to, you know, just drop that on people, right? But here's the thing, and this is the problem. It's the problem from a society perspective. You probably wouldn't expect a guy that one of five things that he does is help people to win business and more of their ideal clients, right? You probably wouldn't expect to hear this from me, James, but I've been in meetings with clients where they've turned around and said, they brought me in to help them grow and they told me what they want to grow by, and I just go, you don't need me for that. Like you could stand with like an A-frame board on in a shopping center with I'm an accountant on the front of it and grow by more than that year if you've got a crisp clean pitch. You don't need me for that. And I was like, guys, why do you actually want to grow for? I was like, just tell me if I'm wrong here and if, you know, I'm overstepping boundaries or whatever. But hold on, you've got the money you want in the world, you've got a nice house, you've got a nice car, you go on those holidays with your family, like you've got cash in the bank, you're not worried about making payments. Very cool. Like, do you need more clients or do you need actually more time in life to do things outside of work? Like, why do we always have to grow? Why do we have to grow and continue to grow? Otherwise, we're taking a step backwards. Why have we let society, which we are responsible for, why have we let it ingrain this into our brains? So, like, hey, like, you're growing by referrals. You're happy with that. No stress, no drama. Like, what happens if that stops? Like, generally, what's the impact to your business if that stops? You know, you're being reliant and your stability of your business is on something that you are reactive to and have no control over. I mean, hey, like, accountants mitigate risk for a living, man. If you're not mitigating that risk, then that's cool. But if you don't want to do anything about it, no stress. I think that's...
I think,
Yeah. I'm really passionate about that. So
I like it. That's very good.
And that is something, another thing I see a lot of in accounting communities are people
exactly that position. Like, they don't want necessarily more money. They just want their life back. And I think, obviously, you can put in place automation. Content Snare will do it for you. No, not really. It'll do some. But I think, back to the sales side, if you're actually good at sales, what I said before, if you're able to land more of your ideal clients, you can trim the clients that are taking up all your time and actually draining your life away. Because, like, it only takes one bad client to make you hate your business and hate your life. And depending on the kind of person you are, but I'm like this, right? Like, if I get an email or something that just pisses me off, it's like a little brain worm with hooks on it, and it's straight in there, and like, it just won't shut up for like 2 hours. I can't believe that person. Oh, it's like, I'm not achieving anything by being mad about it, but that's just how some people are, me included. So you just need those people out of your life.
Yeah, I think taking a step back, you know what's really, really nice? And you'll kind of get, and you know, listeners or viewers of this, we kind of get our business model now and how we do it. So like, when people turn around and go, yeah, I grow viral referral, don't want to change it, don't want to do anything, I just want more time, you know, I want to do less work, have more time at the business. All right, cool, do you want to make more profit than process? They're like, yeah, so it's good. People just want to make more profit. I'm asking a stupid question, James. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm being serious. So you said about, you know, content there and doing that, like, James, like, I'm more than happy to say this. I say this to our clients all the time. We use content now within our process where we're helping firms to deliver. Like, there's genuinely case studies, you know, on our website, on my LinkedIn profile, you know, we drink our own champagne. There's case studies that we've helped firms to go down from absolutely stressed in a complete and utter nightmare, overworked, not making enough profit, let down by team members. With what we do with Content Snare, we use Content Snare as the tool to be able to standardize retrieval of information. And then we do the work. One of our firms in particular is now down to a 3-day work in the week, making a 65% net profit on all of her compliance. So, do you want to grow or do you want to make more profit? Do less work?
Yeah.
But that's our deliver service. So, nice. It kind of makes sense as to how that works and fits together now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you may need to come back to talk about deliver and the automation side on another podcast, but in the meantime, like, let's say, just so I know, we've covered a little bit of this already, but if an accountant does want to get out there and actually start generating, like, some real lead flow that's not tied to referrals, just lay it on me. Where what other things can we do? Where should we start? We've sort of spoken about where to start, like, go to where the target market are, but what are some more examples?
I would look inwards firstly on the individual, because everyone's different, and that's what makes the world fabulous. We've all got different feelings, thoughts, emotions, strengths, weaknesses. That's what makes it cool, right? This thing called life. Where is your confidence? Where are you at your best? Because, again, with what you said earlier on, James, like, I literally teach, you've got all these different channels that you can go to. Pick two, be consistent. When I presented standing room only last week at a counter, it's like on the presentation that I did, how to win £1 million in new business without chasing anyone. Before I did that, I was like, oh, here's like loads of different channels, from like partners, from networking, from like email campaigns, from ad spend, from LinkedIn, social media. Like, here's loads of these different channels that you should go at. Pick two, be consistent. But find the ones that you're most comfortable with. Some people, even, you know, you said earlier on about a firm that, you know, you didn't say the industry, but they've kind of like niched, and they're just like the go-to person within that industry, because they just go to everything. They're known, they're visible, they're seen. Most importantly, they do a really great job. Great sales isn't being salesy. Great sales is, you know, this great word called indifference. If anyone's ever read the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, if you've not, read it over and over and over again, because that will teach you indifference. And what you don't need to be is pushy. What you don't need to be is salesy. The best salespeople are like, I can help with that. Sweet. But who else I do it for? And then the great thing is, people don't actually give a damn as to what your services are, which is the most counterintuitive thing. They care about what that makes possible for them. That's what they care about. So all you need to do is talk about your clients and the problems that they had and how you've helped them. That's all you need to do in a sales process. And then just be a chill, relaxed human being. But do what you're confident with. I don't, James, want to turn around and give everyone a stock answer and go,
yeah,
find out like where all of the networking events for all of the industries that you're in are and go to every single one of them. That's pretty obvious, but you might not be confident in yourself to be able to go and do that. You want to work towards that and build your confidence. Go to a few and then review it and then work with somebody to help build that confidence and develop your skill. Great, okay, cool, no worries. But if you're not and you don't want to do that, the chances are you're probably not going to do it. So find the channel. If you want to win more of your ideal clients, find out where your clients hang out, not just literally and physically, but could be even digitally as well. Look at the channel that you're most confident in. Then commit to two channels, but be consistent. Hopefully that helps you listen to.
No, I absolutely love it. And a couple of things on that is like, if you pick something you're going to be heavily resistant to, what you're going to do is hate your life again, right? Like, so they say, I know people think like, oh, I need to go to events. Like you said, pick all the, like, it's generic advice. Influencer is like, you got to win more business, you got to go to all the events, blah, blah, blah. And someone's like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, you don't necessarily have to. Like, there is an argument to be made for pushing beyond your comfort zone, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think you don't necessarily, if you're an introvert and you try to force yourself to go to every event, you're probably going to burn yourself out real quick. I do know a couple of local accountants, shout out to Jackie Trumper, who's a Content Snare fan. But she has said, you know, she's an introvert and goes to events and has become like a personal challenge thing for her, you know, which I think is awesome. Not everyone's going to do that though, right? Some people are going to look at standing on stage and go like, absolutely not. But there are many other things you can do that are lower impact that you can start on. I would recommend, I guess we're just giving people a reading list now, but there's a book called Traction. It's actually made for startups, and I'm not talking about the Traction you probably know. It's which is the, you know,
Wicker one.
The Gabe. No, not that one. There's another Traction, just to confuse things, by, I think it's Gabriel Weinberg. Traction, Gabriel. It says how any startup can achieve explosive customer growth. Now, I know you're not a startup. However, basically all Traction is a list of marketing channels. It's like trade shows and events and partnerships and SEO and whatever. It's like slightly older now. It's not going to talk about AI SEO or whatever. But what's good about it is just the framework. It's like, here's a bunch of channels for you to think about, a bunch of ways for you to get clients. Here's a framework for prioritizing them. And go and run tests. Here's a little framework for running tests and seeing which ones gel with you or that you can make work.
I love it. James, I just thought of something, and it might be something that's in your listeners' heads that we've been talking through. But the one question that typically comes up is, I don't know where to find my ideal clients. So we say, go where they are. They go up, we don't know where they are. This is so simple. Do you have any clients like that already? Typically, it's a yes. And the reason why it's a yes is because you wouldn't say you want to work with more of that type of client if you didn't already work with them, right? So cool. If you don't know where they are, go and speak to that client and go and ask them where they hang out. Go and ask them, if you were going to meet an accountant, where would you meet them? Where would you be like cool with a conversation if you met somebody like a networking event? Where would you look for an accountant online? How would you find them? What was the process? What was the process that you went through with us? Even better yet, James, arrange a Google Meet, a Zoom or Teams call, whatever it is you're using. Ask the client for help, record it. Great. You've got an absolutely dope transcript with all of the answers in, so you don't need to remember anything. Write stuff down. And then you're like, hey, right, now I'm going to put this into GPT or Claude or whatever product is you're using, various different ones are available. And be like, hey, help me build a go-to-market for this particular customer niche, right? So these are really simple things that you can do with off-the-shelf AI. So we're talking AI use cases now as well. But your existing clients know the answers to every problem or every question that you've got.
You are absolutely speaking my language now. Like,
oh wow, like I'm who would have thought that talking to customers can get you good information?
It's crazy how many people don't though. Like, this has literally been our playbook from day one, right? Like when we launched Contents and we spoke to web designers, got all this kind of information. When we started noticing accountants using Contents Nair, I mean, the first thing was like, all right, who are the influencers in this space? Who are, what events do they go to? What newsletters or publications or magazines do they read? Like, what do they call themselves on LinkedIn? Like, what are their titles, whatever? Like, how do they describe themselves? You know, are there Facebook groups, blah, blah, blah. And then the same thing, like we've spent plenty of surveys over the time that literally ask these kind of questions of our customers. Of course, you do it in the one-on-one stuff as well, much more highly personalized. I guess we, being a software business, have to be somewhat volume-based at times, so we have to do the slightly less personal surveys. But man, like the amount of people that like give up their time to answer a few questions that are insanely helpful for us is incredible. But like, yeah, the recorded calls or whatever, just to ask these questions, I really like what you said. Like, what was the process of finding us? How did you find us? What other thing did you compare other accountants? Where did they fall down? What made you choose us? God, some of the most insightful chats you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. And feed into that marketing that we were talking about before on the website, like quotes and testimonials and case studies on your existing customers. So maybe that's the first thing right there, is go and talk to like five of your ideal customer who you're currently working with and record them and go with a preset set of questions, all of those things we've spoken about and more, and feed it into AI.
There you go. It's done.
It's really, really simple. And I think for a lot of businesses, it's around the strategy, it's around the positioning. It's that fine detail that turns it from hits and words to here's a journey. And here's how you're then inviting the reader to be able to learn more. Points of it is enriching them as to who you are. That's how when they come to you, you're really confirming their buying decision. You're facilitating their sale as opposed to selling them. And that's how, James, getting back to your initial point, how do you win business before you've even spoke to somebody? That's exactly how.
Boom. We've come full circle, which is, I think, is a great place to end it. I just have one question that I am told I need to ask you about.
Cool.
I don't know if this is a sensitive question or not. It was just presented without any extra context. That some barbecue you had with clients.
Yeah. Tom Johnson was at one of them. Yeah. you get this, right? You're a good human. You've got a sparkly personality. You like to have fun with guys, right? You've got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
All things Tom's told me. I can't, you know, vouch for those yet. We were very early stages in Represent. I think we were like our first year, still intentionally trying to confuse the LR of our marketplace for the reasons mentioned earlier on. And we're like, hey, do you know what would be a really good idea? You know, people are going to see clients and doing little road trips and whatever else. I was like, let's do a barbecue. Let's do a barbecue. I was like, yeah, let's pick a couple of clients and just be like, yeah, we're going to come to you. We're whole ass, we're going to do a barbecue. So we did our first one with one of our clients, Mizuma. Lucy Cohen is not only the founder and CEO of Mizuma, which is the UK's largest female founder of accountancy practice. They've got circa like 5,000 clients. Lucy's also the president of AAT, so known globally. And really highly respected, one of many clients that we work with over on this side of the pond, so to speak, on this side of the world, James. But I was like, yo, Lucy, got this idea. James, shoot. How many people in your office? 40, James. I was like, sweet. You know, I've got a BTEC National Diploma in Professional Cookery. Yeah. So I'm trained chef as well, right? So yeah, genuinely great fun at a barbecue. But I was like, how about we come to you, we do a barbecue for 40 people just to kick this off? As part of a press release and partnership that we did. And she was like, dope, game on. So we did we did a warm-up with David Addison and Catherine at Utopia, which Tom Johnson came along to as well. So we did like a kind of warm-up in David's back garden, like the day beforehand. But then, yeah, I was like barbecuing for 40 people, thinking halfway through whilst I'm absolutely melting in the beaming sunshine And at a barbie, I was like, why did this idea ever come and happen? But do you know what it is? Great, let's focus. And yeah, nobody got food poisoning. Everyone got fed. So everyone's happy. I just think it was a really great, fun way to cement the partnership, man.
Boom.
Events are like, I don't know, small events. I guess I don't know if you count 40 as small, but I do find small events are a really lovely way to, I know, get to know people. It sort of ties into everything we were talking about before. You this example was to cement a partnership, but I mean, we've just had little breakfasts or whatever with key customers, and it turns into like discussion about industry problems, and it turns into getting incredible feedback for our products that we can feed back into it. Getting that language of the like learning about your customers more. Like, yeah, I think breakfasts are small events are a totally easy, amazing way to help your business.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I love that, James. You've just given a really great idea to absolutely everyone that's listening here. What does James do with his customers and content set customers just like you? Go and then do that with your clients.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
This is very, it carries over. Like, you just, we're a software product, but all this same stuff, it carries over to client type work as well.
Good human energy, mate. It's contagious, and it brings people to us, the right people as well.
Awesome. 100%. James, mate, this has been bloody awesome. I want to know where people can go to find out more about you, follow your journey.
Cool. As far as I'm aware, I am the only James Sundin in the world. So that is Sundin. If you want to find me on LinkedIn. Other than that, if you want to go to our website, is represent.global. Represent.global. We said we were global. So yeah.
I'm incredibly global. Jealous. That you're the only one of you in the world. There's like eight of me just in my city, right? Like, it's, I've one of the most common friggin' white person names.
I mean, I feel like there could be a Chesney Holtz quote coming on there. Other than that, I know you're potentially fishing for compliments, James, but the one and only James Rose, mate.
Boom. And we'll end right there. Cheers, James. This has been awesome.
Thanks.